I just wanted to share on, I guess it's multi, it's the hope, but it's kind of like our life now and how it coincides with the hope and how God just shows us how important it is to have the hope and just eternal life in our minds every day and what that does for us to get through the things we go through. Because we all go through things and life isn't perfect if anybody hasn't figured that out yet. Not everything goes perfect in life. Sometimes we have some sicknesses and worries and doubts and fears and anxieties and we do our best. God knows that. He knows we're human and we're, you know, we do the best we can. We believe and there's an adversary. So, but we'll see how he gives us the hope. And you'll see how it really, well, we'll see the verses, how they just really always go with affliction, and he's constantly like saying, hey, this is tough, but boom, you know, and that's what I want to, well, kind of the gist of it. So in John, Gospel of John, chapter 14, it says in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. This is Jesus speaking. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And in John 16, and we'll just look at the little details of the new heaven and earth, the return, eternal life, and just little things and kind of just see little details, how God kind of just puts the little puzzle together, what he shows us, you know. But these are just a few things, but in chapter 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So that's good to know. But there is tribulation in the world. I mean, it is, we all know that, you know. There's things, but God gets us through everything, and we just go to him, and he takes care of us, and even if we have a problem, he gets us out of it. And, that's what he does. Romans chapter 8. Verse 18. It says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. In verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. And Romans 12. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Mm-hmm. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And 2 Corinthians 4. I told you it'd be easy, right? Just flip two pages. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and external weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen, which are seen, are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God wants us to keep focused. We get lost. Look, we all have lives. We all do this and that and figuring things out. But you know what? He wants us to really focus on eternal life. Like, don't get so caught up in this. You know what I mean? That we forget. We got a future coming that's going to be incredible. You know? Ephesians chapter 1. And that helps us get through a lot of things we go through, you know, on whatever it is, and we all go through stuff, but that helps us to know we have eternal life, and this is just but for a moment, you know? It seems long. You know what I mean? I sent Dottie a video of, did you watch that? The Italian guy?
I don't remember.
The barber?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he was like a news guy, whatever he was doing like an interview with him, and he was 107.
Yeah.
He was going to be 108. And he's cutting hair. And the guy said, oh, he goes, yeah, no, I work 5 days a week. Yeah, 8 hours a day. Think about that. That's like almost two lifetimes for most people that retire. That's a long time, but God still sees it as very like nothing, you know? Like, God's timing for some reason, thousands of years, like a second to God. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Cool.
I don't even know what that had to do with anything, but I was just saying, like, life is, you know, sure, seems like it's a long time, but it's really, you know, God is just looking at of that when Jesus Christ is coming back. We get to that new, you know, stage in our life. Ephesians 1, chapter 12. I mean, Ephesians 1, verse 12. It says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So God gave us that little, you know, Holy Spirit, the token until, you know what I mean? We're sealed, we're not going to lose it, we're definitely going. There's no chance of speaking tongues. That's even more proof, right? So we're not going to, no one's taking it away from us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Just read that again. And in Philippians chapter 3. Verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working thereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So that's another little detail. Mm-hmm. Our bodies will be changed. Let's see. Colossians. Oh, I think it's backwards. Oh, I'm sorry. 3. No, oh, I have the wrong. Oh, I'm sorry. Colossians 3, verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, that hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And it's more leadership thing, but still gotta fight. Mm-hmm. Stay in the fight. We gotta stay in the fight. You know what I mean? So when you're ready to give up, if that ever happens, hopefully never. But you think of the eternal life, what we have, what our future is going to be. It's worth the fight, you know? It's worth hanging in there. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. And this is just a little bit about temptations that we all have. The temptation just not to believe the word, mm-hmm. right? It really lies down. It all really comes all back to that. How, you know, verse 14, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed unto the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been through it all. He's done. He can relate with everything we go through. Mm-hmm. You know. So, and that's, you know, that's good to have someone like that, that we could say, all right, well, he's been through it, so I can get through it. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. There's a couple things about some crowns and things too that we get. I don't know what they are, but they must be good because God mentions them. Verse 10, it says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister, verse 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to full assurance of hope unto the end. And verse 17, it says, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed and by his oath, that by two mutable things, which is impossible for God to lie, which is a good thing. Isn't it great to know it's even impossible for him to lie? We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have an anchor of our soul, of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. So we have the hope as an anchor to our soul. And Hebrews 10, verse 36. Verse 36 and 37. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Mm-hmm. And in James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Hmm. Pretty cool. So we get rewards for enduring temptation. Hmm. Or we get a crown. know if that's a reward, but it's a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And then, in James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And 1 Peter. A lot of verses, but it's kind of going quick, right? It's not. I'm almost to the end.
Yeah,
first, I was so scared.
No, let's get it going.
1 Peter, chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, okay, verse 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith and unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day, wherein ye greatly rejoiced though for now season I, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perished, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's pretty funny how, did you notice, I didn't even notice this until I started doing this. Temptations, afflictions, it's like kind of tied in with the hope a lot. Like God's always saying, look, I know you're going through this, but look, remember this, you know, right? You see, it's funny, and I never even realized how many times something to do with eternal life or the hope was actually mentioned. It's mentioned so much. I actually had a bunch of other ones that I just... But it's amazing how it's always tied into, there's always about affliction, or it could be persecution in some cases, whatever, and it's like, don't forget the hope, you know, don't forget you got eternal life. This is just for now. Mm-hmm. Keep your eyes on the prize, you know, basically. And then, so that was Peter. And then Peter 5, 1 Peter 5. Verse 4, this is going to be 4 through 10. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But that the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory, by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 25, it says, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. And in verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him. Yeah. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we have confidence and not be ashamed or disappointed for him at his coming. You know that the righteousness, okay. And then in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 right there, we'll read 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So that's the end of that section. I'm just kind of closing these last few ones. Thessalonians. And these are just a few little... I'm sorry, Thessalonians chapter 4.
Which one?
I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Maybe it's, yeah. Yep. And in verse 13. No. I'm sorry. It's the other one. Second Thessalonians. Isn't it?
No.
No.
Oh, it is first. I was in Timothy. Sorry. With these glasses, they're the nicer ones. I have cheap ones we have that are like a dollar. But when I go out, I always take these, and I hate them because they have the... And I'm not used to using them. So I'm like, it's blurry as I'm moving my head up and down. Mm-hmm. But they are nicer. So they don't work, but they're nicer. Anyway, verse 13... God doesn't want us to be ignorant. Mm-hmm. We all know this stuff, but it's good to still hear little details of the... But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and he rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, precede, right? Mm-hmm. Them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So it's comforting to know that. Mm-hmm. 2 Peter. God also talks about the new heaven and earth, which in 2 Peter 2, verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 13. And it says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We're all looking forward to that one day. It's going to be nice. It's going to be a nice day. And 2 Corinthians... Oh, this is a little thing I threw in here. This is with 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I always think this is just really cool because we're speaking about afflictions and all the things in chapter 12. So this is with Paul when he was really trying to take him out, and he was going through a lot. Chapter 12, verse 1. Okay. And Pultman. So it says, it is not expedient, this is chapter 12, verse 1, 2 Corinthians. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether body I cannot tell, or whether out of body I cannot tell, God knoweth, such as one caught up to the third heaven.
Third heaven?
Ah. And I knew such a man, whether in body or out of body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for me, for a man to utter. So, as far as I know, and somebody can correct me, as far as we know, right, Paul was the only one, I think, that we know of, right, that God showed the new heavens and earth by revelation. Is that correct?
John.
Oh, okay. John. I don't know. But anyway, he showed him, right? And he wasn't allowed to really... He actually really showed him, and he wasn't allowed to speak about it. But the thing is, the point of this is that he was getting... You know, God did that for him. He was to the point where, you know, if you read on, I'm not going to read it, but, you know, they were really trying to take him out. You know, he was going through a lot. And, you know, God blessed him, I guess. I would guess that's what he did. And he showed him some pretty cool things of the new... Heaven and earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not clear. I just want to make sure if anybody knows anything different, tell me, because I just don't want to say the wrong thing. But I believe that. Okay. And then we'll close in Revelation 21. And verse 1 of Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, we just talked about that. You just said and I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So that's it. I just wanted to share a little bit of some things in our future that could bless us thinking about it more. I want to think about it more.